It's the freedom talk show with Veronica.
Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica. My name is Veronica Blake. Thank you all so much for joining me on the show today. Today on the show, I am joined by the beautiful, beautiful queen of Miss Ebony World, Stephanie Nwogu. Stephanie, how are you doing today?
I am doing awesome, Veronica. I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. You look beautiful as always.
Thank you.
So how has it been so far?
You look amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How has it been so far being the reigning queen of Miss Ebony World?
Well, overwhelming. I've gotten an outpouring of love and just support from the community, my family, the Miss Ebony World organization. I got crowned not too long ago. It was July 27th, 2020. And ever since then, the experience has been nothing short of amazing. So I am ecstatic and I'm just ready to hit the ball, ground running actually, with all the things that I have planned with Miss Ebony World.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. So was pageantry something you've always wanted to do?
So that's an interesting question, right? I started off in school. My mom had us enrolled in performing magnet art schools at a very young age. She actually had me modeling in a few things. I can recall an Oscar Mayer commercial, some magazines at some point. And I think that was more so her vision for me at the time. And I actually shied away from being in front of the camera. So I kind of went towards event coordination and planning and being part of nonprofits and some great companies that I've worked for thus far. But I knew that my voice was definitely powerful based off of just the impact that I was able to do behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And so I was actually pushed in a direction to do pageantry. I'm a very shy person. Mm-hmm. You know, when I meet people, they don't believe that, but I think it's just God's anointing on me. Mm-hmm. And so this journey really was something new for me. I just started last year. I did the Miss Africa USA pageant in November. And I came out as the culture ambassador for Miss Africa and second princess. Mm-hmm. That was my very first competition that I did. But it's a dream come true, really, mm-hmm. because it was a fight that I was having, you know, with God. I don't like the limelight at all. For 4 years, it took me to get the courage to actually step out there on faith and allow him to do what he's called me to do. And so that's why I'm sitting here with you today. So.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. So how did you hear about the Miss Ebony World pageant? And the reason I asked, because coming from doing Miss Africa USA and then going straight into another pageant, I know that pageantry is not easy. So how did you hear about Miss Ebony World?
Well, I heard about Miss Ebony World actually during my time with Miss Africa. Okay. Teresa Capane, she's an amazing woman, actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to work with her through the Miss Ebony World organization, but she spoke highly of Miss mm-hmm. Ebony World, what they stood for. And that was everything in the direction of which I knew that I wanted to take my life. My life's work is service, community, and fusing passion with purpose. And so with Miss Ebony World, their core mission is to unite Africans within the diaspora with the Black community, mm-hmm. Because there is kind of a divide there in a
yeah.
sense. And you know, I believe that we as Black people, we're one. And so I felt that it was a great opportunity to serve and to compete for Miss Ebony World because it was just right in alignment with where I wanted to be.
So tell me a bit about what your platform was on again.
Right. So my platform is the Shine Africa Project.
Okay.
Shine is actually an acronym. It stands for Service, Honor, Innovation, Network, and Empower Africa and its Next Generation.
Beautiful.
So the Shine Africa Project is corely based on bringing together youth and young adults within the African diaspora, Caribbean natives, Black community, where we holistically train them. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, you know, when passion meets purpose. So basically, we just, you know, come together under mentorship to help them, help the youth, the young adult within the African diaspora population to forge their dreams, to be able to outline and scale exactly what they want to do with their lives, what they're passionate about, and then help cultivate that along the way, providing resources with companies that that are in line with their career paths and things of that nature. So that's what Shine Africa is about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So with Shine Africa, you are able to incorporate that with your platform, you know, in Miss Ebony World. What right. are some of the projects that you have coming up or you plan on working towards?
Right. So one project in which, and I mentioned this during the time of the interview, I was asked, and if I can't quote the question exactly, but if I were to have a first event, what exactly would it be? Yeah. And I was specifically focused on women empowerment at the time mm-hmm. of that question. And I think that's one of my very first projects that I intend to do. Mm-hmm. We as Black women from all descents, all makeup, all background, I believe at the core, we all share the same values. We yes. all want to be seen. We all want to be heard. We all want to be understood and have that sense of worth. And I feel like the being a woman is one of the most powerful things that you can be. Mm. And I'm sorry, man, I don't want to upset you.
Amen to that, sister.
Right. But to me, I feel like the ability to give birth or to usher in life is like one of the biggest things that women offer here on here in this world. In addition to that, we stand for our women, we stand for our community, we stand for our kids, and we're the backbone. And so it's quite heard often that when you get women in the room, when you get women in the same atmosphere, whether it be in the work profession mm-hmm. or wherever, it's some kind of contention. There's we can't work together, or one person doesn't like the other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big discredit to who we are as women. Yes. Every woman, I won't say that every woman that I've worked with, we've 100% got along, but mm-hmm. you have to understand the purpose and the drive behind mm-hmm. what you're doing. And mm-hmm. I think having a women empowerment event where we can undercut all of the facade, you know, mm-hmm. forget about looks, forget about the presentation, and worry about us as core and start mm-hmm. working there and have that event centered around healing, mental health, connection, mm-hmm. Networking. I think that is ideal. And I definitely want to work towards that during my reign as Miss Ebony World.
That's beautifully said. So if there is something, let's say, what if someone wanted to know who Stephanie was, what would you say in a few words? Who are you?
In a few words, ooh-hoo. Well, a lot of people don't know that I'm a very shy person. Mm-hmm. I am very shy, but I'm bold internally, right? So I have a lot to offer creatively. Believe me, if you give me an idea, I'm going to take it, I'm going to run it, I'm going to expand on it. Mm-hmm. I had quite of experience with event coordination and mm-hmm. planning. I did that while serving on an additional nonprofit, the Express Ebo 501c3 nonprofit mm-hmm. that's in Washington, D.C., where the core value is preserving the Ebo culture. Now, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't know what Ebo is. Ebo is a tribe within Nigeria. Mm-hmm. I'm Nigerian American, so that's one good thing to know about mm-hmm. me. Very passionate about culture. I'm very honest and yeah. very direct, but very sensitive at the same time. Mm-hmm. I believe one of the nicknames that I was able to share with you guys during the interview for Miss Ebony World was that my one of my nicknames is First Lady, mm-hmm. and that's because I, you know, I stand for the truth. I stand for what's mm-hmm. right. At the same time, I'll still be that encouragement behind any one that I support. And so that's a few things about me.
Well, that's plenty beautiful things.
Thank you.
What is your definition of success?
Ooh, my definition of success is quite simple. There's two sides to success. You know, in life, we go to school, especially within the African community. Education is key. Get a good job, and then you know, you're able to start a family and be able to stand on your own and give back to what made you who you are, right? Mm-hmm. But then success can also be measured by what inside, what is it that makes you you as a person? I went to school. I started off going to school for studying political science, and then I veered off and started doing information technology. Right now, I'm a database senior manager for a Department of VA, and that's my career. And a lot of people will say, wow, she's made it. You know, she's with a prominent firm. She's doing everything that she intended. But what inside of me makes me happy? What satisfies me? Mm-hmm. And that is getting down and dirty into my passion and helping people. That is like my root. You know, that's at the core of what makes me happy. And so for me, it's like, if I were to measure success, is how many people was I able to impact? How many people was I able to successfully, you know, leave a mark on, so that the day that they met me, whatever it was in their life, it made a pivotal impact and allowed them to flourish as a person. So giving, you know, that's my definition of success, because we were put here not for ourselves. Every gift and talent that we were given, it was not for us to keep and be selfishly hold on to it, but for us to actually give to the world. And I think that measures, you know, what success for me is. Being able to give back and make an impact, for sure.
Okay. So we hear a lot of stories about beauty pageant and beauty queen, and, you know, sometimes not so good. It's beautiful, it's glamorous, right, and it's not so good. You know, some of the things that we hear. So it's a stereotype that have been placed on beauty queens. So now you've been a beauty queen and carrying this title. What has it been so far for you with your experience? Would you say that, you know, what is being said is correct, or what is being said is not correct?
Well, if I'm understanding correctly, I think that in the world, beauty has its own definition. And when you put beauty pageant, the standards of what the typical beauty pageant used to be was that you had to be thin, that it was all about beauty, that it was all about image. Mm-hmm. And then when you think about the politics behind everything, you know, some people will say that it's staged or it's rigged or there's nepotism involved. Mm-hmm. But me personally, the way I see the world today, if we look at 2019 and look at the makeup of what beauty was defined by, when we see all of the pageant queens that came out from Miss Universe, Miss America, Miss USA, they were all ebony queens.
Yes.
And that was redefining how beauty in this world, right, is actually the stereotypes, that you have to look a certain way. Each of them had different complexions, different shapes, different sizes. And I think the world day by day is grasping that beauty is not one set form. There's multiple, you know, forms of beauty. There's multiple makeups of beauty. And it starts from within, because you can be beautiful on the outside, but inside there's so many things going on. And eventually, even if you're beautiful outside, it's eventually a reflect outwardly. Yes, I think each and every one of those ladies that were able to walk away with a crown in 2019 came out and was able to give a different expectation of what it means internally to be beautiful. And so my definition for beauty is that, you know, the hair and makeup, the, you know, the bliss and the glam, that's all wonderful. But I look at a person's soul. I look at a person's spirit, you know, how they make me feel when they're around. Do they enlighten me? Do they make me feel, you know, the sense of, you know, like we're on the same level, we can connect. Mm-hmm. That's all it really for me. Is about. So I think that stereotype, it was at a point in some sense true, but these days, I mean, the face of beauty has changed, and ultimately beauty is from within.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because a lot of times I've seen young women and either skinny or a bit thicker than the regular girl will be like, okay, I'm not good enough, I won't fit in. So thank you for taking the time and explaining that and setting that pace for the rest of us women to look at you and be like, you know what, I am beautiful. Right. It doesn't matter what the world says, I am beautiful. It's about what is inside of me. And thank you so much. And that means a lot, a lot. So to the young girl who, like you, who wants to embark on this journey, what is the advice you give her?
Wow. So pageantry is not easy, but it's not impossible to do. To piggyback off what you were saying, where, you know, again, the image of beauty, and, you know, if you're shaped a certain way, like me personally, I have my own body image goals and standards for myself, and the world also projects their own on me. But it was about living in my truth. Am I healthy? Number one. Am I inwardly okay, mentally okay? And I think that's where you have to stand first and foremost before you even try to help anybody else. You have to be whole. And so when you get it, for anyone that wants to embark into the world of pageantry and start competing, know that from the moment you step in, you're going to be judged. From whether it's actually on stage by the judges or your peers, you're going to be judged because this is a public role. And so know that when you step in the light, you have to be centered within yourself to know that no matter what naysayers are saying, no matter what the expectations of other people are expecting of you, you'll meet those standards because obviously, you know, this is something that you want. But as far as the physical standards, I don't think that you should allow that to mess with your head, to start going on crazy diets and things like that. In addition, whole, mentally whole, spiritually, but then what is your why? What is the purpose? Is it, you know, is there something that you actually want to make an impact on? Does your passion actually intend on, you know, doing some community service, helping the people around you? Knowing that is very important because when the cameras are gone, it's just you.
It's just you.
You may have the backing and the support of the organization, but this is your year. And if you're blessed enough to win, it'll be your year. And so when everything, all the cameras go away, you have to be okay with yourself. You need to know what's going to drive you. You need to know the purpose. My purpose, like I said earlier, I have the desire, the want, the success for me. How many people can I impact in a day? What can I do to help change other people's lives? And that is something that you need to know at the core, because it's fine wearing the crown, you know, getting the attention, the pictures and all that stuff, but there has to be more. And I think that also, you know, knowing that also breaks the stereotype that beauty pageants are just for standing up there, you know, smiling on a pedestal and walking away with a crown and then getting, you know, limelight, because the limelight is good, but what is the limelight reflecting on? It's not just as a personality, what stands behind you, you know, and the mission behind you is definitely greater than the person that's standing in front of it. And so knowing that while you're embarking on this journey is definitely very important.
And so we are advising the next girl to sign up for Miss Ebony World.
Yes, we are. We're excited. Registration is open right now for Miss Ebony World 2020. Shameless. But I, you know, please reach out to us. The organization is doing so much work these days to make sure that, you know, they attend to every and all inquiries. So please, if you're interested in Miss Ebony World, register now.
So the CEO of Miss Ebony World is Christelle.
Yes, ma'am.
And the director is Therese Caponge. Can you tell me a little bit about each of them and how it's been so far working? Let's start with Christelle and how it's been so working with her so far.
So Miss Christelle, I thank you so much for this opportunity. And as you know, like the pageant was virtual, so I have not been able to have the opportunity to meet her just yet, but I'm sure that's in the works. We'll definitely get that going. But on the night of the announcement, we were on the phone, you know, going over the contract, any questions and stuff that I had, but she was such a sweetheart. I think I'm just grateful. Thank you, Miss Christelle. I know you saw the vision for Miss Ebony World is supposed to be, and I just pray that whatever I do to serve in this year helps your vision, you know, move along. in that direction. She was a sweetheart when I spoke to her, and she was with open arms. Anything that I needed, I can reach out to her. So it has not, you know, it has been quite seamless, actually, and organic too. You know, I think we all mesh well, and so it was great talking to her that night. And then I do look forward to meeting her at some point during this journey, for sure.
And then your pageant director, Teresa Ponce. The CEO, the fun lady, Teresa. How has it been so far with her?
Teresa, shout out to you, girl. She is awesome. I'm just going to say that right now.
Yeah.
She enjoys what she does wholeheartedly to the core. If I could not have picked a better director to be working or being, you know, shadowed under with her guidance, it's just been actually impeccable. She stays on top of everything from the photo shoot that we had last week to this interview. All the details and everything was, you know, on point. And I think with her, you know, I would say that she's a diamond in the rough. She looks quiet.
Yeah.
Looks quiet, but she is so powerful.
You
wouldn't know looking at her head on. You get to like know her behind the scenes. She is a diamond.
And she's also another beauty queen like you.
Absolutely,
it's amazing.
Yes,
you ladies are breaking the stereotype of beauty queen being prideful, thinking they are all that. You ladies are breaking that stereotype, and I for one, I am so blessed to know you both. It is truly incredible. A clap we offer for the both of you. It is truly incredible. Yesterday, I believe I was listening to some things as I prepared for this interview. And one thing I heard was that when it comes to Miss Universe, Miss USA, there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes when it comes to the people in charge and the girls are not happy. So I am truly excited and glad to hear that your director, as well as the CEO, Miss Christelle, and Therese Caponge, the director, are doing amazing work to make sure that your journey as the reigning queen is a successful one.
Yes.
I'm truly grateful.
Thank you. Me too. I'm grateful. I have the opportunity to work with them hands-on, and it's just, I know this year is going to be great. So, stay tuned. We got so much in store for you guys.
Yeah. So I know you told me about your project and the women empowerment, trying to bring ladies together.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you're also from Nigeria.
Yeah.
Is there any work? And the project is called Miss Ebony World. And we know what ebony means. So is there anything you'll be doing when it comes to Africa in general?
Yes. So we do have some charity events lined up. And I'll say details are to follow because we're still ironing some of those things out. But Africa is home for most of us. And I think one of the things that my dad always used to tell me growing up is charity begins at home. And there's so much happening back home. Great. Some things, the way forward as far as how technology is rising over there. Opportunities are growing vastly. At the same time, there's a lot of room for improvement, a lot of room. So the Shine Africa Project obviously will encompass work being done in Africa. One of the things that actually gave me the name for Shine Africa, when I was thinking about youth unemployment specifically, we're looking at least 25% or more now. And the last time I checked the statistic, that was in 2019. But 25% of the youth population in Africa alone, and that we're looking at least over 200 million youths. So 25% right now are either unemployed or underpaid. Okay, underpaid meaning little to nothing. And it's hurtful because it's not like they're not educated. They came out of school, they went, because that is the path for it. Anyone that knows an African out there knows, education is like
it's the
one
key
thing. So from, primary school on up, I know that's how we scale it in Nigeria. I'm not sure about other African countries, but I know most of them have been trained up until the college level, you know,
yes.
U.S. standards college level, and they're out there unemployed, you know, trying to get the opportunity, trying to have somebody believe in them and give mm-hmm. them that, you know, the grace that, you know, what we have here. I was lucky enough to school here in the United States where that transition is quite smooth. I know unemployment rate is also high here, but the opportunity is a little bit more, you know, obtainable. Whereas if I'm not studying, or I'm not working exactly where I studied, there's some room for me to, you know, make do with what you know, we mm-hmm. have here. You know, with the Shine Africa Project, that was kind of the core of how it started. Okay, let's shine a light on Africa. Mm-hmm. Let's be able to not only shine a light on the issues or shed light on the issues, but bring some sunshine into these youth and young adults' lives, you know, mm-hmm. where they feel like somebody actually cares. Mm-hmm. Mentorship is key. When I was training here in the United States, every stage of my life, professionally, personally, I've always had a mentor. I've always had someone to coach and guide me along. And that's how I've been able to get this far. So I know that my one thing that's going to bring joy to me is to be able to do the same thing for somebody else. So that's what I would say. The work will begin.
You know. That's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. I for one, look forward to having that, you know, that experience and being part of your platform and yes. standing with you during this journey as Miss Ebony World. Before I let you go, is there one thing you want to say? Any shout outs, anything off your Instagram? Please, can you give us
a sure. So you can follow me on Instagram at Heavenly Sky. Mm-hmm. You can also follow my journey as Queen on the Miss Ebony World Instagram and Facebook. We've been doing a lot of work with revamping social media and things like that. So we have a lot of fun things in store for you on there. So please check it out. The MissEbonyWorld.org website is also available. As I mentioned, registration is open right now for anyone interested in competing in Miss Ebony World 2021. I do want to give a special thanks to God for first and foremost, because without him, I cannot do anything. This is my very first interview, so I'm mm-hmm. so grateful the way that he's been, you know, kind of just pushing me along. And, you know, I may not be able to see everything he has in store, but I'm trusting him to lead me through it all. Also want to thank my parents. I love them so much. They're the cutest little people ever. I love them. I mean, my mom specifically, that's my role model. I want to thank you, Mommy, for everything that you've done for me. My dad, he's my rock. He's a quiet man, but again, like me, inside of him roars very loud. And so I carry their pride on my shoulders. And so everything that I do it for you guys. So I just want to personally thank you guys on this platform. National TV, y'all, so don't forget. My sister, shout out to Chama, CJ, they're always in the background. They're always supporting me in everything that I do. I love them very much. And, I want to thank my support team, the beautiful Becoming Queen, committee. They were with me all through, my journey with Miss Africa, even through Miss Ebony World. A lot of the setup that you see here is because of them. So I just want to thank them so much. They tirelessly, you know, always have my back. And I'm just so grateful. I didn't get here by myself. So anyone that's out there really trying to do anything, doesn't have to be pageantry, but anyone that's a dreamer or someone that's aspiring for something, just keep going. Like I could tell you right now, if someone told me a year ago that I'll be sitting in this seat right now, trust me, I couldn't have, you know, thought that far. And so I know that God is doing the work, and sometimes great things take time.
Yeah.
So that would be my message to anyone that's out there that's really, you know, struggling to kind of grasp a hold on what it is that moves them, what it is that they want to do, what it is that they've been fighting for so long. Mm-hmm. Just keep holding on, because your light is around the corner. So
thank you so much, Stephanie. Thank you for taking the time for speaking with me today. You look beautiful, like I told you earlier, and keep being great. And to my viewers and my listeners, thank you so much. I introduce to you the beautiful Miss Ebony World 2020, Stephanie Inogul. Stephanie, you are amazing. You are so humble. And I hope, I wish you the best. And I hope that you continue to soar and continue to be as great. The sky is not even the limit for you. As I always say, please, you have a friend in me, and you have a sisterhood here. If there is anything, anytime you want to jump on a show, just let me know. Any conversations you want to have, we'll just jump on and have that conversation.
I'm ready. Let's get this work going.
Let's do it. Let's do it, sisters. I'm very grateful. Thank you so much. Let me end.